Okay, hello everyone. The work I'm going to present today was done as part of the 3D Flick project, which is a collaboration between researchers in York University in Toronto, Canada, and different industry partners that are involved both in production of S3D media and S3D displays. So last time when I was watching Back to the Future, I noticed something that I haven't seen before. One of Biff's friends is wearing red-green glasses. And this character, whose nickname in the movie was actually 3D, in my opinion, embodies the golden age of stereoscopic 3D media in the 50s. However, this was not the first time that stereoscopic 3D made it into the popular stream. We could plot the success or public interest in stereoscopic 3D as a function of time and get something like this. And one of the main reasons why this is not a nice straight function but kind of curvy is rooted in the technological difficulties that affected image quality and the satisfaction of the viewers. So in order to ensure that 3D, or stereoscopic 3D, is here to stay, we need to understand the perceptual issues involved in viewing stereoscopic 3D media and the technological issues affecting image quality. So, of course, one of the problems with stereoscopic 3D displays is crosstalk. And as Andrew defined crosstalk before, is the proportion of the one image that is seen in the image of the other eye. And ghosting here is the perceptual consequence of crosstalk. The more crosstalk there is, the more visible the ghosting is, and the worse is the quality of the image. So most currently available commercial displays are affected by crosstalk. Probably the most affected displays are the anaglyph displays. And here you can have crosstalk due to imperfect spectral performance of the glasses, or, for example, the difference between the spectrum of the glasses and the display. In conventional time sequential displays that are based on shutter glasses, you could have crosstalk due to slow shuttering or shutter leakage. In polarized displays, you could have crosstalk due to depolarization of the display, or in linear polarized glasses, you could have it due to misalignment between the eyewear and the display. And finally, in autostereoscopic displays, crosstalk can occur due to the fact that observers are moving their heads away from the sweet spot or in between different views and multi-view displays. So people have studied perceptual consequences of crosstalk, and among what was published, they found a reduction of image quality, increase in perceived workload, decrease in viewing comfort, and reduction in quality of depth. But as far as known to us, no one has yet looked at the effect of crosstalk on the perceived depth magnitude in S3D using a precise metric task. And this was the purpose of a series of experiments we conducted. In the first experiment, we examined the effect of crosstalk on depth from disparity in fairly wide stimuli. In the second experiment, we looked at the effect of crosstalk on depth from monocular occlusions. And in the experiment which I'm going to tell you about today, we looked at the effect of crosstalk on depth from disparity in thin structures. The reason why we wanted to conduct this experiment is because, as I mentioned in the first experiment with disparity, we used fairly wide stimuli. In such stimuli, the ghost and the original images overlap, while in thin structures, which are essentially long, thin objects, most of the time, the ghost and the original are separate. And this can, this is qualitatively different, and it can yield to different percepts. So we wanted to ensure that the results of our first experiment generalize to thin structures. To give you an example of the difference between the two, you have an image of sunflowers here, and actually there's a crosstalk in it. This is an example of a thin structure, which is the stem of the sunflower. And you can see here that the ghost is separate from the original. On the other hand, the head of the sunflower is an example of a wide object with respect to its disparity. And hence, the ghost and the original overlap. You can get quite different matching patterns between the images of the right and the left eye in these cases. For example, the thin structure case is actually very similar to what is known in the psychological literature as the double nail illusion. So in the double nail illusion, an observer is viewing two thin identical objects, such as nails, for example, positioned one behind the other in depth, as shown in A. And these objects form the following images on the retina of the two eyes, as shown in B. So you can see that there are two identical images in the left and the right eye, and there's an ambiguity with respect to how we match these objects in the two eyes. And in this case, two solutions are possible. One solution is shown here in black squares, and in this case, we would perceive the two objects one behind the other as in the real world. The other solution, which is shown in the white squares here, would yield the percept of two objects at the same depth, side by side. And psychological literature showed that we tend to prefer this side-by-side solution. With thin structures, the situation is very similar to the double nail illusion because we have the same, very similarly looking objects in the left image and in the right image, and we have this perceptual ambiguity with respect to matching. Another important difference between wide objects and thin structures happens at small disparities. With wide objects with a small disparity, the ghost can be interpreted as edge blur. In the case of thin structures, because they're so thin with respect to their disparity, even at small disparities, the ghost would be separate from the original, and thus the edge blur interpretation is not available. So we predicted that at small disparities, there will be a larger effect of crosstalk on depth in thin structures than in wide objects with the same disparity. So in order to test all these hypotheses, we used a mirror stereoscope, which is a system consisting of two displays presenting images to the right and the left eye, and two angled mirrors that direct these images into the retina of the two eyes. And since this system is spatially multiplex, it is it has zero crosstalk in it, which was very important for us because we wanted to precisely control the amount of crosstalk we introduced into our stimuli. The range of crosstalk we used was from 0 to 32%. And we also used different disparities, ranging from 1.2 to about 6 centimeters at a viewing distance of 60 centimeters. And we had 9 subjects. I would like to talk about how we introduced crosstalk into our images. We essentially added an attenuated version of one image to the other image. And when I say attenuated, for example, if it was 10% crosstalk, the left image was multiplied by 10% and then added to the right image and vice versa. Because we used the grayscale images, we made sure that our monitors had enough grayscale resolution in order to be able to present all the grayscale levels we used. We also made sure that these grayscale levels were perceptually discernible for our observers. And this is our stimuli. In A here, I'm showing a schematic of all the objects that appeared on the screen at each trial. On the top, we have a fixation cross. Under the fixation cross, we had the stimulus, which consisted out of two lines, two thin lines, one with cross disparity and one with uncross disparity. When these were viewed through the stereoscope, one appeared in front of the fixation cross and the other behind the fixation cross. Under the stimulus, we had the virtual ruler with a moving bar, and we asked our observers to adjust this bar in order to indicate the perceived distance in depth between these two lines. We then added various amounts of crosstalk and presented the stimuli randomly for our observers. Here you can see the actual stereograms of our stimuli. There's no crosstalk on the top, and there's supposed to be crosstalk in the middle and the bottom row, but I'm not sure if it's displayed well on this screen. So if you can cross-fuse, you can try to evaluate what crosstalk does. And also, some of you probably seen the demo that I presented yesterday with natural images and our stimuli. So, that's all right. So now I would like to talk about the results of our experiment. This is mean data for all our observers. On the bottom, on the x-axis, we have the crosstalk level. On the y-axis, we have the estimated depth in centimeters. And the differently colored lines correspond to different disparities. You can see that there's quite a large effect of crosstalk on perceived depth. As crosstalk increases, perceived depth decreases. And this effect takes place already at quite a low percent of crosstalk, about 4% for these disparities. It looks on this graph as that crosstalk has more effect on larger disparities than on smaller disparities. However, in this graph, there is a big difference even at 0% crosstalk between the estimates for the smallest disparity and the largest disparity. So it's possible that we cannot appreciate the effect of crosstalk on the smallest disparity due to compression in the graph. So in order to explore this further, what we did is we normalized the data with respect to disparity. In other words, for each subject, for each disparity, we divided all the values in this disparity by the highest value, and then combined the data and replotted it here. The axes here are the same as in the other plot. We have crosstalk level on the x-axis, estimated depth, which is normalized here, on the y-axis, and the differently colored lines represent different disparities. You can see here that crosstalk has effect on all disparities, quite a large effect, even on the smallest disparity that is shown in blue here. However, you can still see that the slopes for the larger disparities, for example, the pink line here, which is the largest disparity, are a little steeper for the larger disparities than for the lower disparities. So in order to examine this further, what we did is we took the slopes between each consecutive levels of crosstalk, and we averaged them for each disparity. And then we plotted them in this graph here. So on the bottom, you have the disparity in centimeters. On the y-axis, you have the normalized mean slope. And you can see that as disparity increases, the slope increases as well, indicating that crosstalk indeed has a larger effect on larger disparities than on smaller disparities. So we found that indeed in thin structures, crosstalk causes a reduction in perceived depth. It is a significant reduction, and the statistical tests showed that it is significant starting at 4 to 8% crosstalk depending on disparity. And there's a faster rate of reduction for larger disparities. And just to give you a taste, at 8% crosstalk, depth was reduced by as much as 40%. So I would like to compare these results with the results from the previous experiment with disparity. So these are the results that I showed you two slides ago for the thin structure stimuli. And these are the results for wide objects in which the ghost overlapped with the original. You can see that there are a lot of similarities in this data. And in wide objects, crosstalk has a big effect on perceived depth, just like in thin structures. However, there is one important difference. In wide objects, we found no significant effect of crosstalk on the smallest disparity that is shown here in blue. While in thin structures, we did find a significant effect. And we think, as we hypothesized, that this is due to the fact that the edge blur interpretation is not available in thin structures. Finally, we can conclude that perceived depth magnitude is significantly affected by crosstalk. In all our studies, we found the same. And this effect is stronger for thin structure stimuli at small disparities. And based on all our data taken together, we recommend to keep crosstalk below 4% in order to maintain good image quality and vertical depth. And this estimate agrees with some of the results that Andrew showed at the beginning. I would like to thank my supervisors, Lori Wilcox and Rob Ellison, and the research assistant that helped with data collection. And one message that I want you to take home is that we say no to ghosts from crosstalk. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Tsuruin. So, any questions or comments, or please?
Hello, I have two questions about numbers. I need to ask you the same question that we asked before. What's your actual definition of crosstalk?
So the way we simulated crosstalk, let's say if I'm saying it's 10% crosstalk, it means that we took the image of the left eye, multiplied it by 0.1, and added it to the image of the right eye.
You mentioned some photometric measurements?
Yes, we did that to make sure that our displays have the proper resolution in order to present all the grayscale levels that we needed.
So you took into account the gamma curve?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But it would be nice to see the equation that you used, but that's okay. Maybe in your paper. The second question is, what do you mean by disparity? Mm-hmm. You've got an absolute value there. Are you talking about distance on the screen? Are you talking about a physical perceived depth within the screen or in front of the screen? What does your number mean there?
So what you saw in centimeters, it is depth converted from minutes of arc. And minutes of arc is minutes of visual angle. So disparity between the two images in minutes of visual angle. So essentially, you can think about it as the physical depth in centimeters between one line and the other. So if I say 6 centimeters, that would be 6 centimeters between one line.
Behind the screen, in front of the
screen? One of them was in front of the screen at half the distance, and the other behind the screen at half the distance. So if I say the disparity was 6 centimeters, one line was 3 centimeters in front, and the other line was 3 centimeters behind.
Let me suggest that maybe it would be better to leave it in angles, because how do you compare your results to other displays?
In the paper, it's in angles.
Thank you.
No problem.
Okay, thank you. So I'd like to close this session.